everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this week, we are going to be talking about Pixar's Onward, which we saw the new trailer for, so we're sharing our thoughts on that one. Talking about Legend of the Three Caballeros, or however you want to pronounce that one. We're also going to be talking about the Marvel shows, Power Pack, and a few other bits of rumors, and the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and how that connects up with The Mandalorian, and a few other bits and pieces from over the past week. But before we do any of that, make sure you hit that subscribe button on either YouTube or on the podcast services to keep up with everything. And let's jump straight into probably the most important thing. But James, what have you been watching it this past week?
Not an incredible amount of Disney. I finished up Star Wars Resistance, but that was only like two episodes left. And it's still the same feeling I had last week, which was it's a perfectly fine show, but I never connected with it the way I did with Rebels or Clone Wars. So it'll be one of those footnotes, especially if it doesn't even get a second season or if the second season doesn't connect back to the first, which seems more likely. So enjoyable, but forgettable. And then other than that, it was Good Omens on Amazon, which has nothing to do with Disney, but I enjoyed quite a bit. So
yeah, I'll be honest. We watched the first episode last night and it was awful, but
I think a lot of it, based on what I've heard from talking with people, is that if you read the book, then you're like, oh, this is awesome. And if you haven't read the book, you're like, the heck is this? I don't understand it at all. So I have read the book, which I think gives me a lot more context to it, but I can totally understand why people would look at it and go, I don't know what this is.
Yes, but nevertheless, I'm also been carrying on with Chernobyl. Finished off Grey's Anatomy last night, so that's all done for me. Bit of an odd week. I did watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I got that on 4K Blu-ray for my birthday. It was my first 4K Blu-ray disc since I got a new Xbox One a couple of weeks ago. So it was kind of cool to watch that. But yeah, generally been quite... I watched the live presentation of the Disney of the opening of Galaxy's Edge at California, and that was like an hour long. And it's just been one of those weird weeks of like just been busy at work and then a couple of evenings out and stuff, so I haven't really had a massive amount, but definitely some bits and pieces. I think I did a few episodes of Star Wars Clone Wars at the beginning of the week as well. And also I've got in this thing of a Sunday morning on one of our broadcast networks before I go to work, I'm ending up watching Avengers Academy and also not Avengers Academy, Avengers, the basic cartoon. I'm sat there for like 2 hours on a Sunday morning watching cartoons. So that's lining up me quite nice. But nevertheless, let's jump into the kind of news. And really the big news from the Disney side other than Galaxy's Edge was Pixar kind of dropped the first teaser trailer for their new animated movie Onward, which is hitting cinemas, I think, March 6th. And so expecting it on Disney Plus probably between Thanksgiving and Christmas next year probably might be in line. But what did you think of that trailer?
Not an incredible amount, honestly. For myself, I kind of saw it as like a Monsters Incorporated sideshow. I know they're not connected in any way other than
they were made by the same team.
They're made by the same team. They're both Pixar movies, but otherwise completely unconnected as far as we know. But I definitely got a Monsters Incorporated vibe from it. And not in like a, ooh, this is going to be a whole new story thing, but like, oh, you're recycling the same jokes and you're recycling the same stuff. It is Pixar, so I'm willing to give them a lot more leeway. And it's also just like a minute and a half trailer. It's not the full thing. But if this was not Pixar, if this was some other studio, whether known or unknown, I probably wouldn't even think about this movie again after this trailer. So not overly impressed, but it is Pixar. So I expect that it is better than it looks in this trailer.
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd one. It was a bit like, okay, like I can't quite put my finger on it. It's something wasn't quite connected. I think the idea of obviously, you know, unicorns eating the trash, that was fun. And then having a dragon pet and all of that. Like, it just, like I saw someone comment on the trailer, that is like, well, what's happened when the trolls in Frozen have grown up and they've got a bit taller? I wouldn't say it blew my socks off. It was very much along the lines of, okay, that looks fun. Looks to be some fun element. I think there's going to be a lot of banter between Chris Pratt and Tom Holland. I think that will be the key selling point. I think we'll see a much more of that as the movie goes on. But Yeah, because it was a bit like we're going on an adventure in Guinevere, but they didn't really explain what they were doing or why they were doing it. And to be honest, teaser trailers shouldn't really do that anyway.
No.
But yeah, I thought, okay, this is fine. You know, I can see this is going to be a fun movie. But I think it almost one of those things that we need to see more of it to kind of get locked in. And also, like you said, if they took that Pixar name and put DreamWorks on it, that kind of felt like that kind of thing of like, yeah, I'll wait for Blue. I want to wait rather than go cinema. I think that thing Pixar will pull me in. It didn't feel like as polished as previous Pixar movies. The animation seemed a bit flat, a bit simple. It's hard to put my finger on it.
Yeah, it's just, it does seem to be lacking a spark of some sort. You know, some distinctively Pixar thing. There's not a jump forward in technology that we can see. There's not a compelling hook to it that says, oh no, this is a story you've seen, but we have our version of the story. No, this feels kind of like a paint by numbers, odd couple buddy comedy, but they're trolls and there's dragons and the unicorns are raccoons. And it's like, okay, maybe try a little harder. But again, it's a teaser. Yeah. It's not supposed to give away the story. It's just supposed to make you go, oh, there's a Pixar movie. It's got Chris Pratt. It's got Tom Holland. And then make you want to check out the first real trailer when that comes up down the road. I assume that they're releasing this in anticipation of having it lead into Toy Story 4 later this year. It's something that's attached to that movie. And then we won't see anything else. Well, no. We'll probably see some more of it at D23. Actually, because I remember first hearing about this project at D23 two years ago. They didn't say much about it because it was still conceptual at that point. But once they rolled this teaser, I was like, oh yeah, I remember them talking about this now. So
yeah, I suspect actually that trailer will just run in front of Toy Story. I don't think we'll get a proper trailer for months.
No. Right? No, I don't think there'll be a trailer at D23 or a different trailer at D23, but I think they will talk about it. We'll learn more about the characters. We'll learn more about maybe a very overarching plot summary, not like the nitty gritty, but just this is the point of their quest kind of thing. But yeah, not a full trailer. I mean, it's not even due out for
March.
Almost more than a year. So
yeah, I wouldn't expect to see much more really until after Christmas, maybe in general, because of how it works. They want to start building up for it. They'll start getting the toys in after Christmas and stuff, because it's just getting the characters out there, letting kids and everyone get familiar with them, let them sink in, let them get. That's what Disney do. They release these very early. They let these characters and stuff sink into your brain to start seeing it a little bit more regularly. But looks okay. Like I said, I think we're both in that same point. And I'm going, okay, you go.
Yeah.
We need more. We need a little bit. It didn't blow me away, but I think this is the other, you know, this is a good thing as well. You know, that we know obviously Pixar is going to be one of the core five brands of Disney Plus. So I originally thought Christmas, and then I was like doing the finger math and going, they might pull it in for Thanksgiving. It really depends. I'm hoping by the time we get to then, you know, the platform will be running for over a year by then, and we might have a better idea of how quickly things are moving on there, because at the minute we're looking at 7 to 8 months, it might be less by the point that gets to it. But I'd love to know your thoughts on the Onward trailer. Let us know in the comments below. Okay, let's jump into some of the other news of the week. So the other big news from Disney was that they opened up Galaxy's Edge over at Disneyland in California this week. New themed area. They got a big new Millennium Falcon ride. They got more rides on the way. They did a big presentation where they brought in Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and George Lucas and did this big presentation, a lot of fun. But one of the key things that Bob Iger said during an interview was that there are things from The Mandalorian in there, in the themed area. There's some little nods to it, and obviously until you see the series you won't notice them or won't know what it is. And there's also some nods to Rise of the Skywalker. And also they've said that they can kind of bring things in. And I'm very much thinking along the lines, this could be a set piece. It could be a weapon or a picture of an animal or something like that on a head in the bar, which at the minute we don't know what it is, but it might make a little bit more sense once we've seen the TV series.
Right. And, you know, when they originally announced that Galaxy's Edge was going to have tie-in material, you know, we were talking about books in this case and comics and stuff. I was like, how do you do tie-in material to Galaxy's Edge? It didn't really factor into the first one, which was Thrawn Alliances, the second Thrawn book. There, it was a setting there, but if there was any connection to Galaxy's Edge, we didn't really know what it was. We've got the comic running right now, Galaxy's Edge 5-issue miniseries. I think 2 issues are out. And that was really where I started to see how it would connect into stuff. Because the first issue was a story about how the Ithorian collector, who is one of the main characters in Galaxy's Edge, the attraction area, acquired a baby Sarlacc pit, which is kind of cool. And I gather if you go to Galaxy's Edge, and I'm not going for months, I'm waiting for to die down even a little bit, just a little bit. But you can see the baby Sarlacc pit. And if you're there, it's just like, oh, cool, it's a baby Sarlacc. But if you've read the story, like, oh, this, he got it this way by contracting smugglers to do this. And so we don't know how that'll sink into the Mandalorian, but I'm assuming that, like you were inferring, there will be items in the shops and in the areas where after you've seen the Mandalorian or after you've seen Rise of the Skywalker, you go, oh, that's what that piece is right there. That's, that was where, you know, he shot that thing and it fell off, or, you know. So it's very clear now that Galaxy's Edge, they've put a lot of thought into the lore of Galaxy's Edge, and I can't wait to get over there and actually see it for myself.
Yeah, I mean, we never know. We know there might be a scene in the TV show where they go to the planet that they was it Batu?
Batu, something. That's how it's spelled. I'm not sure if that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah, well, that's I mean, me and pronunciations never really work amazingly well, anyway. Especially with, like, it's just one of those things. If sometimes you see a word and you read it, and that's just it. And especially there are certain words that you read when you were a kid or when you're, and you had no concept of Google. There was no YouTube. So if you mispronounced it wrong and no one corrected you, you've had 20 plus years of pronouncing it wrong. It's very difficult to get at your head of it, especially when you try to say Schwarzenegger. Came up in a video. I did a video with the True Lies one, and people go, well, how did you pronounce that? Go, well, in the 80s, we didn't have no other way of, you just put a word. But nevertheless, it's just kind of, I like the idea that they're doing this. We're obviously going to get one of these areas over at Walt Disney World this coming August. It's also coming to Disneyland Paris. I would not be at all surprised if it ends up going to Shanghai and Tokyo and stuff. So they're going to integrate it as much as they can. This is a themed area. Can't wait to go see it. It might be a year or so before I get to go there and see it. And I'm guessing the queues are still going to be mental.
Oh, they're going to be awful. Yeah. I mean, I'm going in December. I had considered doing a trip in October, but I ultimately decided to do an extra day in Disneyland Paris this later this year instead. And just, even in December, I'm expecting that the queues are going to be like, oh, you want to get on the Millennium Falcon? The line is back there.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's at LAX.
Quite possibly. I mean, I'm in Denver area, and I was parking my car the other day, and the attendant, this was Thursday, the attendant looks to me and he says, all right, make sure tomorrow you come in super early because we're overflow parking for Galaxy's Edge. And I'm like, I could honestly believe that.
That's pretty good, go all the way over there. But yeah, so it's just kind of quite interesting to see how that's all going to interconnect. I'm hoping soon we'll see something more of the Mandalorian. I'm wondering if they're holding out for for maybe even I don't know. I don't know if they'll do set. I'm guessing D23.
It's the next big one.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them doing it at San Diego because that's kind of more Marvel side.
Yeah, I think San Diego is going to be big on Marvel projects, not restricted just to the Disney Plus projects. I assume we'll get some Winter Soldier and Falcon details, but they still have to announce what the specific plans for a lot of the Marvel movies are past Spider-Man Far From Home. And San Diego seems like the logical place, whereas D23 does seem like the place where they would do Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
I could see them dropping like maybe a teaser trailer, not the one they dropped at Celebration, but because they do want people, they want people, not just the D23 hardcore audience, to be aware of the Mandalorian and hyped up for the Mandalorian and paying for Disney Plus. But Yeah, D23 makes more sense for Star Wars.
I mean, they still haven't kind of really released the trailers for The Clone Wars or The Mandalorian that people got to see at Celebration. They've been holding them back. But nevertheless, let's jump into the Marvel stuff, because there's been quite a lot of rumors this week. And I use the word rumors very much, because some of the stuff is kind of just flowing through. And sometimes even I'm sitting there going, yeah, that seems a bit far-fetched. So first off, Power Pack. Apparently, Marvel have been working on doing a Power Pack movie for a while. This is a bunch of characters I didn't even know existed until I saw the rumors. That was how low down on the pecking order they were. Apparently, Kevin Feige from Marvel has been looking forward to doing this and wants to do it. It's basically a bunch of kids running around that have got superpowers. But now, apparently, this is back on board, and there's thoughts that this might be a good, like, Disney Plus series, or maybe even a Disney Plus original movie. But you know the comic book Power Pack. Have you ever read this stuff?
I've seen them in like cameo appearances. They were pretty big in the 80s. They were the big kid-friendly book in the 80s. They were kind of the Runaways of the 80s, yeah. Actually. Very similar storyline, in fact. And they popped into the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. Nowadays, they don't even exist. Most of their powers, because each kid had their own specific power, of course. And I think all four of their powers have kind of merged into a single kid right now, who's now a teenager, even in the Marvel Universe. They're a teenager. So, you don't see Power Pack very often. That said, we've had rumors of Power Pack television shows and movies for so long. That you can either go one of two ways. It's going to be the perpetual rumor and never actually happen, or the rumors have been persisting for so long that it will actually happen because, you know, there's something behind the rumors.
Yeah.
I kind of lean towards the first, though, because Power Pack hasn't been a brand since the 80s. I mean, yeah, they pop up every once in a while in the 90s, 2000s, even now. But and one of them is getting added to the cast of a book in the near future. The one that's got all the powers, but still, it's not going to be a Power Pack book. It's going to be the Power Pack kid who's not even called Power Pack kid. Their name's like Spectrum or something like that. So I don't know. I don't put much stock in it.
I know when I looked into it a little bit, one of the Fantastic Four kids is kind of becomes.
That's right. Yes. It's going to be in the Fantastic Four spinoff book.
Yeah. So that's kind of the way they kind of, I mean, looking at like some of the covers and stuff, it looks very like, I'll be honest, it looks better, it looks more sense to make it as an animated TV series, because the animation looks kind of like manga style anime, which I thought would work really well rather than a live action one. But I also think if this is stars kids, it would be a perfect home on Disney Plus. And if they're looking at it going, maybe they kept putting it off because they're going, this isn't going to work at the cinema, this is going to dilute down the Marvel Cinematic Universe too much, whereas Disney Plus allows them that flexibility to do something that maybe they wouldn't have done on the big screen. And I think a movie with kids, you know, talks about it like being like Spy Kids. If they bring it down to a certain level for kids, it could be like a good entry point. Saying that, my 3-year-old nephew loves Ant-Man and stuff, so I don't know how much lower down they can go.
Don't challenge them, because they can definitely go lower.
I mean,
I still remember, was it the Superhero Squad or something like that, which was like the super deformed hyper kitty show from, I don't know, a decade ago now. But I will admit Power Pack would find a pretty good home on Disney Plus. Minimum impact on the MCU, and it's the kind of kid friendly young audience targeted story that they want, because Power Pack, you can have fairly young kids be the members of Power Pack. Like if you go back to their origins, they're I think 3 out of 4 of them aren't even teenagers yet during their first appearance. That's how young they are. And so long as you tailor the storyline to that and you don't try to like make it a coming of age story which gets dark at some point, there's plenty of room for kid-friendly, monster of the week stories.
The thing is, obviously, as well with these kind of shows, is they are on a time budget, because if they want to film them, they've kind of got to film them quick. And they've got to get the second and third season done very quickly, because obviously, as time goes on, those original kids get older and no longer look. That's the one thing with kids, they kind of got to get in, film them, film multiple ones quickly, and then get out before they kind of hit puberty. But
right,
going from one, oh yeah, carry on.
I was just going to say, and that's why they should do it as an animated show, because then it doesn't matter anymore.
No, no. I think that would be a little bit more sense, but we'll have to see if that rumor comes true. Of another rumor, or there's a multiple ones about Deadpool. First off, there was a rumor going around that Deadpool would want, Sony wanted Deadpool in Spider-Man 3, the one after Far From Home. And then even Deadpool's creator was like going, no, that's not happening. And then some other rumors were like, no, they want Venom. They want to bring Tom Hardy in. And then there was the rumors of like, no, Deadpool on a Disney Plus show. And I'm sitting like, anyway, I'm like writing this kind of, I don't think I could have put the word rumors in that video or in that story anymore, because this whole thing was just like Deadpool on Disney Plus. It's just like, it doesn't fit, not with everything they're doing on Hulu, you know, where they've got the Offenders and they've got Ghost Rider and they've got, was it Hellstrom and all these other ones. It's like, if Deadpool's going anywhere, it's Hulu. And also, Deadpool's too much of a big hit at the cinema for them to make a TV show. It's Ryan Reynolds is a top A-list movie star. He doesn't need to be doing a TV show. The reason they're doing the Disney Plus shows with the ones like Winter Soldier and all the rest of it is because they know that that probably wouldn't translate well to a movie level. Deadpool, they can just do another Deadpool movie, make a ton of money, and leave it as it is. Whether or not they tone him down a little bit in the future wouldn't surprise me. But a Disney Plus show, I was just like, this is not going to work on so many different levels.
Yeah, I agree. This is another one of those things where we're kind of going in the opposite direction of what we normally talk about, which is, you know, bringing in mature shows, kind of messing up the MCU, which is supposed to be kind of borderline PG-13, edging a little into R. They definitely dropped the S word several times in Endgame, which kind of surprised me how many they got in there. Yeah. But yeah, this would be going the other way, where you would take Deadpool and you kind of kiddify him, and you're kind of damaging the brand that Ryan Reynolds has built up with his movies. And as much as I would love to see a Deadpool animated show, particularly if, you know, they got that that Donald Glover show that they axed a couple years back, I can't see them putting it on Disney Plus, not without inadvertently damaging the brand. And they have to know that.
I think an animated series is slightly different. I think an animated series, you could do that and make it PG-13 with a few bits of humor, kind of more like Family Guy zone. They don't need to go stupid because it's an animated series. It's a little bit more, you know, they brought Deadpool into Spider-Man cartoons and stuff. But I think a series featuring Ryan Reynolds as in live action, I just couldn't see it.
I don't see how you would afford to do a TV series with Ryan Reynolds, especially with Deadpool. I mean, I know the first movie was made on, by superhero standards, a shoestring budget, but trying to do it on TV and maintaining quality, I just don't see it.
No, it just is like, no, that's not really gonna, I just felt like that. There's a lot of rumors flicking around. You know, it's that kind of situation. Sometimes I feel like, no, but that's, you know, I report the news, I don't make the news. And that's, to me, this was just like a live action series featuring Ryan Reynolds on Disney Plus. There's so many red flags flying up on that one for me. An animated series, I could see it, but with what they're doing on Hulu, it would make much more sense there. We're just going to have to wait and see. There's a lot of kind of, it's the same thing with the Star Wars ones of every other character is being thrown around for a series at the minute. And we've just got to take that into account. Keeping on the Marvel's things, that was officially confirmed. Disney did confirm that a third season of Marvel's Spider-Man, the animated series, is coming in spring 2020 on Disney XD. Some new episodes are coming onto Disney XD in September, featuring the when Dr. Octopus becomes Spider-Man, the five-story arc on that one. Sorry, five-episode arc. The fact that of having sort of Spider-Man on Disney XD in the spring, I've got to think they're all going to be on Disney Plus. I mean, it just makes sense on so many different levels. It's just very odd at the minute where Disney Channel aren't nothing. They're not promoting anything on Disney Plus at all. There's no mention of it. It's still Disney Channel and Disney Now. It feels very much like anything that's launching post Disney Plus is they aren't promoting it in the slightest.
Yeah, and why would they? This is what they want, everything promoted. Yeah, and they're going to move this Spider-Man show over there as soon as possible.
Yeah, so. it's kind of one of those things. I think from the Disney Channel's point of view, I mean, I view now that anything Disney Channel related is Disney Plus. That's kind of just how it's going to work. And you can see the fact of anything, they don't want to promote anything of being on Disney Plus when it's coming out before of it. So, you know, anything coming out, the movies and stuff, they want it. Once we get probably closer to Disney Plus launching, we might start getting official confirmation. Because they haven't really announced how things are going to work in terms of day. Is it going to be like Hulu where it's the day after, or is it going to be the same day, or is it going to be months or after they've aired on Disney Channel? You know, they're still going to be keeping things flowing through. We'll have to wait. I would imagine, personally, I feel like they're going to follow that Hulu route of like the day after it airs, or even because I look at like the Disney Now app of how they're using that, of going, if everything's available at the same time, you know, that definitely feels like the way forward.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of the industry standard. Even if you aren't going through a streaming service, even if you go through Amazon, you buy a season pass for show on Amazon, you don't get it the day it streams, you get it the day it airs, you get it the day after. Yeah. Like, for instance, prior to recording this, we got a new episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. I have the Amazon pass for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I don't know if they had like a pricing error or something, but it was really, really cheap, so I picked it up. As of the time of recording, the show aired, I think, about 4 hours ago, and I will not get it on my Amazon account until probably 16 or so hours from now. So that's kind of how the industry works, and I fully expect that that's how Disney Plus is going to handle it too.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've just got to have to wait. On that note, there was kind of an interesting sort of article really about Marvel again, of the Captain Marvel producer was sort of saying how the Disney Plus shows are a way of kind of going into the universe and exploring details and stuff. And it was all very kind of like, okay, that's a typical thing. They're fluffing up Disney Plus at the minute, kind of, because I think they're very much aware that they of the stuff they've done with the Daredevil seasons and Runaways and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's all been a one-way street. I think they're very much aware that they want to make sure that they set up these Marvel Plus TV shows that come. No, they are important. You should watch them. You know, this is a reason to get in on it. They're definitely saying, and I also the fact that they're being made by the Marvel Studios team, whereas the Hulu shows and stuff like that, they're all standalone products.
Right, and you know, there's a lot of advantages for them to push Disney Plus as a way of doing this, because I think one of the things with the movies, the MCU movies, is that just by their nature, they all have to be save the world affairs. Mm. You know, almost all of them have some form of like, if we don't succeed, the entire world will be conquered, or Obadiah Stane will create a giant entrepreneurial empire of evil kind of deal. Whereas these shows allow them to tell smaller stories that don't have the fate of the world, but maybe have more character significance. And I think, you know, having the MCU writers be directly involved lets them do stuff like that.
Right. So I'm going to leave the Marvel side now and go very much into the Disney side, because this recently, there's been this television show, Legend of the Three Caballeros, or Caballeros, featuring Donald Duck.
Have no idea how to pronounce it.
Yeah, Pancetto. I think someone else had a Pancetto or something like that. And Jose. Three birds. They were in a classic movie way back in the 1940s that Walt Disney
put together. Movies,
yeah, it was two. But also they were made during a time when it was pretty much World War II. And or just after World War II. And Disney didn't have the team or the finances to put together a proper animated movie like he had been. So like he did stuff with live action. I remember reading in a book that they did a deal with Mexico to use this as a promotional thing. But as time went on, those kind of live action crossover things that he did to save money, those classics have kind of fallen away. And so they made an animated TV series, and it was made by Disney Interactive, who no longer exists. They kind of got merged in with other departments. This series ended up going on to Disney Life in the Philippines like last year. Didn't go anywhere else. Didn't come to Europe on our Disney Life. Didn't go anywhere. Then it turned up on some Southeast Asia Disney Channel. It's been confirmed by Disney Deluxe in Japan that it's coming to their streaming service. And then also the actor who does the voice of Donald Duck also confirmed at a Comic-Con in Ontario, Canada, that the show would be coming to Disney Plus. The series has been floating around for ages. You can find them on YouTube. And it's like one of those weird things of like, it's like one of the worst kept secret of a TV series for years because it's not made by the Disney Channel. But yeah, it looks like it's definitely coming to Disney Plus. No official confirmation, but got a lot of attention. I think anything starring like one of the classic characters. And I think a lot of people especially Disney fans that have heard of this series are wanting to see it.
Yeah, and I am up there with that too. I have not seen either of the original movies. My only experience with them is the ride in Epcot. I think other than Donald, the other two characters have made small cameo appearances over the years, and I might have seen one or two of those. But yeah, I've never seen the original film, or if I did, I don't remember it. But I am interested in seeing this. I want to see, you know, what they do with this. I'm always fond of seeing Donald in stuff, especially where he doesn't have to be either the antagonist or the target of, like, say, Chip and Dale, something like that. I know nothing else about this series. I have no idea what the plot is. I have no idea of what the situation is, what's going on with it, but I love it. I kind of want to see it, and I'm looking forward to it popping up somewhere.
And also turning into a Disney Plus original, I think that definitely seems to be falling in line of, and also the fact that it was made by the Disney Plus, the group that's now part of, it makes it easier for them. And it just makes sense, whether or not they drop the whole lot at one go or if they spread them out. But yeah, this would be a nice little series tie-in. I'm sure if it's popular, they can kind of work out a second season and stuff. But yeah, sounds really good. I only really know them from the attraction at Epcot. That was kind of my introduction to these characters. And it's, like you say, there's a load of classic movies in that time period, which time forgot. I mean, I know Disney fans haven't, and you know, a lot of them will want them, and you see them, you know, I see them on Blu-rays or DVD in my local stores. But there was that whole period of time left those animation, those TV series, those movies away. They weren't up to scratch, and as we grew up, that we all just skipped to the 50s when we started getting things like Peter Pan and Cinderella and stuff like that, and those movies in between kind of just got lost, and most of us didn't watch them.
No, and now most of us can't even watch them. They're just not available anymore at all. I mean, I'm sure some master prints still survive. I'm sure some VHS tapes still survive some of these. But yeah, most of them you can't find. And I don't know if Disney, you know, is just withholding them because they know nobody would buy them except for the hardcore collectors, or if they're legitimately like, yeah, the qualities of these aren't great. It's better to just kind of leave them in the vault.
It's odd though, because over here you could buy them all individually on Blu-ray and also, I think, just on DVD, because they put a big like display unit of go and buy all the classics, and they had every single one out with new covers and everything all done up, and it's on Disney Life. So they have, over here they've made it quite available to watch, but I think in America they never really went down that line.
No, they really didn't. I mean, there's a lot of movies from that era that you just can't get over here.
No, so yeah, it's just an odd one. But so that one sounds pretty cool. There was a trailer released by National Geographic for a new movie documentary that they've got coming out called Sea of Shadows, which is all about this one was floating around film festivals. It was made by, I think it was funded by Leonardo DiCaprio. It's all about trying to save the Earth's smallest whale, the Vanqua. It's a little dolphin little whale. I'd never even heard of this whale until I saw this trailer. So it's following their investigations, their environmentalists following journalists and the Mexican Navy as they're trying to keep poachers from grabbing them because they keep getting caught up in nets. And the trailer looks fantastic. And this one's got, they've got international, they've got worldwide global distribution rights. This one, I think, is going to be a big hit. I think this is coming out in small cinemas later this year in July 12th. So I suspect it will turn up on the National Geographic shortly after, like they did with Solo. So this is something for me that I would love to see when this comes onto National Geographic, because this is the kind of stuff that I'm really interested in, of getting that, like I say, the adult content that is important. And I think this is going to be, National Geographic is the sleeping thing of Disney Plus that I think is really going to start creeping in as being a, it's going to be the major competitor, obviously, to the Discovery's platform, but it's going to offer something a much higher level. And this kind of, these kind of products, while it's not necessarily a National Geographically made, they picked up the rights. The trailer looks fantastic. I really like the idea of this. As like I said, I didn't even know this whale existed, and the fact that it's nearly extinct and I've never heard of it is quite amazing, really.
Right. I've never heard of this whale either before this. And I think this is where you really start to see the value of National Geographic's and programs like Planet Earth too, and all those that you see popping up. Unlike, say, a fiction movie, where, you know, it's really going to depend a lot on whether or not you're interested in the genre. You know, they could put out like the best romantic comedy of all time on Disney Plus, and I'd be like, I'm not interested. Romantic comedy is not really my genre. Normally, documentaries of any sort covering whatever you can think of, there will be something in them, because there's that, oh, I'm going to learn about something that I didn't know about prior to this. And assuming it's well put together, which National Geographic, you normally have that confidence for, or things that Nat Geo sponsors like this one. Even if it's a topic you've never heard of, never had any interest in, you can at least have confidence that you can go into it and come out of it knowing more than you started with.
And like I said, I really feel like this is that side of Disney Plus that is going to, maybe that's going to keep parents involved and keep moving stuff along. It really depends on how they start integrating National Geographic content. And while they've said only like 250 hours at the minute, which is a drop in the ocean into National Geographic's content, I'm hoping over the summer things become a little bit clearer, because when they put that big announcement out, they'd only owned it for like 2 to 3 weeks. So it's still very early stages, but this one looks great. This was a personal one of me going, see, I'd much rather watch that than maybe like Penguins, because this is a proper, it's not a dumbed down kids version. This is a proper documentary that really kind of will catch my imagination and my thoughts much more.
Right. And there's that thing, you know, sometimes you want to watch something on penguins because, you know, penguins are cute and cuddly, and hopefully it's not like March of the Emperors where it ends up being a very tragic thing about a whole bunch of them dying and whatnot. But, you know, you still probably aren't going to get too much out of the penguins, and maybe you don't want much. Maybe you just want to see cute penguins. But something like this, where you don't know what the subject is going into it, you feel like you're going to learn more out of it.
Yeah. Looks interesting. I can't wait to see it. I'm sure this is going to be the kind of content that will be coming over, because it'll be a real big final push. So moving on to the final story, and this was something that came up yesterday just before I went to bed, was there was a number of reports coming out from digital TV research in Europe, and they're talking about how there's going to be a massive boom in how much streaming there is in Western Europe. Now, it's very important that they put Western Europe. And Disney Plus was something that they were putting up there quite a bit, because they are forecasting that 19.18 million subscribers by 2024, which will be hitting where Amazon Prime Video is. So I'm just going to bring up a little bit of a graph here showing you what they are predicting, because, and then I'll be obviously describing it for those on the audio platforms. So they're predicting that Disney Plus at the minute in 2018 has zero, and the same for 2019, they have zero. They are then predicting by 2020, I think is about 2 million. I think that looks to be right. But by 2024, they are looking at nearly 19 million. They're going to see a massive upswing in Disney Plus. They are really expecting that to pick up. Netflix is continuing to grow from 42 million subscribers in Western Europe this year. They're predicting 55 million by 2024. The one thing that really stood out from this is Apple TV. They are not predicting much interest in this at all. By 2024, they are only predicting barely 3 million subscribers in Western Europe. That one really seems to be something that people have not engaged with. There's so little information about this streaming service coming, and there's lots of ones coming because we've still got Comcast and Sky, you know, Warner Brothers. But I just thought that was such a weird way of, like, the interest between Disney Plus and Apple TV Plus couldn't be they're polar apart at the minute.
Right. And I remember we talked about Apple TV when they announced their stuff, and we kind of like, well, this looks much more art house, you know, movie, college movie project kind of stuff. Obviously a higher budget than you would expect for college kids, but, you know, that kind of surrealism, artistic flair, which is not going to be for a mass audience. So unless Apple drastically changes their approach, these numbers are probably pretty accurate. But yeah, these numbers, no matter how you cut it, even if they don't meet these exact numbers, we can expect an explosion of it. And it's not just that, say, Disney Plus or Netflix are going to offer incredible content. It's simply that consumers are becoming more and more used to this style of streaming. They have less and less tolerance for ad-based traditional programming. And as these become more prevalent, and as they become more focused, more and more people are going to switch over to them.
Yeah. There's also been a number of other articles and stuff about other research this week of how many subscriptions people will subscribe to. And there's this kind of feeling very much of, like, people, you know, they're expecting people to go, now you're going to have, most people are going to have between 3 and 5 subscription packages. They might jump and change around a little bit, but there's room for multiple packages. No one's looking at going, you know, they've been saying, yeah, people are not just going to have Netflix and be like, nope, I'm not buying a single other one. They are expecting you to have multiple ones. This is why Disney have kind of priced theirs much lower. I think Warner Brothers have said that theirs is going to be somewhere between Netflix and Disney Plus, pricing wise. I think Amazon's always that odd one because of the free shipping and the way it works in with Prime and Twitch Prime and a couple of other bits and pieces, that it's not really it's like how many subscribers it's got. It's like, well, yeah, but it's not, are you subscribing for this? Like, you know, I mentioned that movie, Omens. Okay, Good Omens.
Good Omens. We talked about it briefly.
You know, that's an Amazon show. I'm watching it, but it's that thing of if I took away the free shipping from Amazon, would I still subscribe to it? I probably, at the minute, because I'm watching Cloak and Dagger on there. That's, you know, I'm watching a couple of shows, but you take that away, I don't know necessarily if I would keep that on rolling, because they certainly are not updating anywhere near enough content compared to the other networks. But
no, I think most people would agree with you on that one. Amazon Prime Video is great as part of Prime, part of the free 2-day shipping, all the other benefits that you get from it. It's a nice little part of the package. But if they tried to split it off on its own, they would have to drop the price point for that specifically drastically, because there's no way people are paying that price for it. And I realize it's actually not that expensive. It's like, what, $90 a year kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, which is not that expensive in the scheme of things, but they don't have enough content to justify it.
I mean, I literally signed my mum up a couple of weeks ago because she kept buying, and I said to her, I said, right, what are you doing? She goes, what? I said, right, you need to become a Prime member. Why? Because she started just getting me buying stuff, and I'm going, well, I said, the amount of stuff you're buying from them, you only need to buy 2 orders a month, and you'll get a saving on your postage anyway. And I said, so if you're ordering nearly one thing or so a week, so you might as well have the package. And I said, well, if you do that, you can have the video system as well. That you've got a, you know, pulled out the old rookie stick from in the cupboard and put it in the television, said, we can watch some stuff on here. You know, like, it was literally on the lines of, like, my mum and dad are watching Amazon Prime Video. It's a bonus because they're getting the free shipping. It's, they are using it, but they didn't sign up because of the video package. It was signed up because if you ordered more than two things a month, it's worth getting Prime. It's just, it was just that simple.
Yeah, and that's even like average, you know. Yeah. You don't have to, you could go months without ordering, but you get down to the Christmas season or whatever your gift buying season is, you could easily order 10 or more packages in a month, and that's by itself pays for an entire year's worth of Prime.
I mean, literally, like now, I need a bit of paint for painting my Star Wars miniatures. You know, like £2.95 for an item. I'll just click buy, because it's like, it's not costing me any more in shipping, and it'll be here in tomorrow. And yeah, it, that's the thing of Prime, and it kind of feels that thing of, it's a different beast to Disney Plus and Netflix and stuff because of that aspect to it, and how many subscribers they've got doesn't really equate to how many viewers they've got.
No, absolutely not. And I'll do the same as you, like, especially if it's only one item I need, like I need a, I don't know, a new toothbrush or something like that. My current one's still fine, but I need a new one. I know I'm going to replace it. I'll order it off Amazon, because I'm not going to go up to the store just to buy, you know, one small $4 item.
Yeah.
But if I'm not paying shipping on it, or if I've already paid for shipping because I have Prime, just might as well just click done. It's here in 2 days, and I can go on and not worry about it.
Yeah.
So it changes the way you think about shopping, because rather than building up like an errand list for, next time I go out, I need to get these 20 items. Like, no, I got those 20 items when I needed them.
Yeah.
And then forgot about them.
That's the key thing. I mean, I think as we have, you know, people get used to subscription services, I've probably fallen into it. So if I got now, I've got Now TV, I've got Netflix, I've got Amazon Prime, I've got Disney Life, I've got the WWE Network, I've got Xbox Game Pass, and I've got Spotify, and I've got, yeah. So,
and if the rumors are true, we're going to see more Game Passes as well. You know, I think Ubisoft, something leaked that said they're going to have one. Xbox or Microsoft is supposed to spin off their Game Pass into a completely separate PC version of it. No, that's not supposed to. They have announced that.
Yeah.
So, you've got movie services, you've got video game services, you've got an Audible, the book service, audio book service. That's a monthly fee if you do it that way. You've got Kindle Unlimited, Comixology Unlimited, all these other. We're just getting subscription to death.
Yeah, but this is the problem, is there's going to be multiple versions, and you're going to start, you are starting to go, hold on a minute, I'm spending like 70, 80 bucks a month on subscription services. Do I really need it? And you're going to start doing that. But the difference is, you might go, well, my Xbox Game Pass offers me something completely different to Netflix. And my Spotify account offers me music and stuff like that, which I use on the go. And, you know, that's a different product. But there's so many ones coming along, and there's lots of other subscription services. You know, shaving, you know, there's all these ones that are all coming along. And I'll be honest, I've cancelled all of my boxes that used to arrive on a monthly basis, all those little subscription boxes, things like loot crates, Marvel Collector Cores, all these kind of things, because it's like, now I've got too much of this. I do look at my subscription services and go, okay, do I need these? Do I want them, etc.? Yeah, Disney Life, $4.99 a month. I don't notice it, as far as I'm concerned. If I watch that a couple of times, if I watch it at least once a week, it's worth it to me. It's barely a pound a week. And that's the way my Xbox Game Pass, I use that the last month I use that pretty much every night. It's become my main form of getting games now. And Disney Plus is going to have to slot fill into that spot. Now, if they've got that whole deal with Hulu and ESPN Plus, and you get your different bundles, that's where people are going to be like, oh yeah, that's a good deal, I get all of that there. But you are going to cherry pick. People aren't. I think the concept of one or two or three is going to be quite standardized. The people like me, of whether you start getting into six, sevens, eights, there's going to be a lot of us, because I'm sure you know, you probably are pretty close to that as well.
I've got quite a few as well, especially if you count Amazon as one. Yeah. But I think actually what you might see, rather than people maintaining an annual subscription to all these services like DC Universe, so you can watch Titans and Young Justice, and
which I think will be merged in with Warner Media.
Oh, I'm sure it will. Yeah. But rather than maintaining an annual subscription for that, and Hulu and Disney Plus and Netflix and everything else, you'll instead go, okay, for the next 3 months, I'm going to do Disney Plus, and I'm going to watch all the stuff on Disney Plus that I want to get caught up on, and I'll let that lapse. And then I will get Hulu, and I'll, you know, over the next couple months, I'll watch the stuff on that I want, and then I'll let that lapse. And I'm going to, and I think you'll see people doing more rotating blocks. So rather than maintaining, because, you know, who has time, even if you have 8 subscriptions, who has time to use 8 subscriptions, especially if you're working?
I mean, it's like me now with Now TV. I think once I finish Chernobyl, now that sort of I finished off Grey's Anatomy and stuff and Fire and Station 19, all these, over the summer, there's not really a lot on there. So I very easily could end up dropping that one off. And this is the key thing you're going to have to keep doing. I do think this is where Disney Plus have got that idea of they want to drop stuff weekly because they know this is going to become the problem. I think Netflix and Amazon, this idea of dropping everything at once and going, there you go, have that. It's like, yeah, but like you said, you're going to start going, well, no, I only want to watch that series. I've subscribed for a month or two, watch all of them. And once I finish with them, I'll come out and wait until something else drops in. Because like, say, like Stranger Things season 3 drops, we're like, all right, yeah, I'll drop in, subscribe for a month, watch them all, and then jump back out again. Whereas if they've got the Mandalorian over 8 weeks, that means that you're going to have to subscribe for 2 months if you want to keep up with everybody else, or you're going to have to jump in months later down the line. And I think this is where the weekly drops are going to benefit Disney.
Yeah, so we're probably going to go back to that model. People have gotten used to the Netflix drop everything at once model, but we'll probably see a shift back to the weekly model as more and more, for the exact reason you're talking about.
I mean, I think like binge watching, the concept of binge watching and doing box sets is fine, because if you want to drop into The Mandalorian and you're on and it's on episode 4, you can still go back and watch 1, 2, and 3, even 4, and still catch up. You know, we did that the other last night. We started watching a TV show on Channel 3. We're like, oh, it's like they're on to episode 3 now. And we're like, oh, well, we just caught up on episode 1. You can still do that. And obviously in 6 months' time, all of it, all the episodes will be there. But that whole idea, like that Omens, Good Omens show, they've just dropped all of those episodes. Now, how many people actually sit there and binge watch the entire season in one go? Probably not a bigger number. They might do 2 episodes. They might do 3. But like that thing of, when do I go back to watch it? When, you know, do I do it night after night, or is it maybe a week's time? Do I come in and drop a few episodes? Binge watching is changed how we watch it, but that drop rate is going to be a key thing to keep people subscribed. And Netflix have done their system and it works, but even on them, you know, I could see that they might start looking, going, hold on, people keep unsubscribing and stuff as, and then dropping in and out. Netflix is in that position. They've been the longest, they're the biggest. People might keep that one going as a primary one and drop down other ones, but people are going to be a lot more hit and miss between their subscription packages.
Yeah, I mean, it's all speculation right now, but we'll see what happens. And I suspect that at least a couple of these companies, Disney included, are probably banking on people trying to do the kind of ripple method of, and just forgetting. And, yeah. Oh, yeah, I guess I've been paying for Disney for the past 7 months, even though I forgot about it. You know, the gym method of that's a big thing with Planet Fitness and stuff like that over here. They don't actually expect you to come to the gym like 3 months after you sign up. They expect you to keep paying, though.
Yes. But nevertheless, if how many subscription service are you subscribed to? Let us know in the comments. That'd be kind of interesting to know. So that pretty much wraps up this week's episode. We'll be back next week with all of the rest of our Disney Plus news. So before you do that, make sure you subscribe on YouTube. We just hit a big milestone of 10,000 subscribers this past week over there. Massive achievement. So big thank you to everyone that watches there. Also on the podcast services, numbers are continuing to grow there. So big thank you for doing that. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook and visit the website. I'm James. Where can they find you?
They can find me through you. Or ask Roger if you want to send me a picture.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon with another episode. Laters.
Later.